not a guest speaker anymore. Somebody said I'm not special. Thank you. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Still is. Vicky told me not to mention time. Too late. Turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. It's good to still hear pages rustling in church. I like it. No condemnation if you use a phone device or something to find the scriptures. That's okay. I do still like to hear the rustle of paper. Some of you are just going to pick up a hymn book and start rustling paper. Is anyone blessed? If you're blessed and you know it, say amen. This morning we're going to take a look at what it means to be blessed according to the teaching of Jesus. It's not what you're going to expect blessing to look like. But that's the point Jesus is making. Our ministry needs to be focused on introducing people to the God who is the source of all blessing. In this room, you are blessed because God is here. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is truth. I thank you that it is alive. And I pray, Father, that this morning we would listen to you and your word, that only you would speak, that I wouldn't even say anything, and that we would be blessed to have heard from our King. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage is another familiar one, where some of you were just quoting it. Some of you know it in the old King James, because that's how you memorize scripture. No? Okay. The verses serve as the introduction to Jesus' famous message that we've decided to call the Sermon on the Mount because of where it took place. Jesus takes external religious practice and makes them matters of the heart. That's what his sermon is about. He's introducing that sermon with these statements that we just read. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and this is significant because he is addressing issues that we find in our community of faith. He's not addressing the crowd. He's teaching his disciples. The crowd's there. People can hear him. He's not being secretive, but he's teaching his disciples. The Sermon on the Mount in its entirety is turning the common conception of the day on its head, and these verses are a fitting introduction to this. When we read these, we get excited about blessed are, but we don't understand that Jesus is about to teach them some very deep and difficult truths, and he's starting with these statements. Blessed are is the phrase that starts each one. The word blessed is most accurately understood to mean happy. So it doesn't make sense that they're happy when they're poor or they're happy when they're mourning. But Jesus is saying something very important. He's switching up the idea of those who are truly entitled to happiness. Your blessing directly correlates to your relationship with God. There is nothing material in your being blessed. But whether or not your faith is strong or weak, you have the potential to walk in the blessing of God. In this list of those who are blessed, Jesus covers everyone. You fit somewhere in those who are blessed, regardless of your story, regardless of what brings you into this room this morning, you are blessed. You fit into this somewhere. I've titled this message this morning, Even Them. Who is blessed? Even them. Because the temptation can be to look at someone else's condition and assume that they are not blessed. Who is blessed? Point number one, even them who are without. Who is blessed? Even them who are without. Blessed are the poor. Luke will talk about this same thing, and he'll just stop there and say, blessed are the poor. Matthew decides to make it a spiritual matter and says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Regardless of the kind of poverty you live in, Jesus says you're blessed. Why? Because yours is the kingdom of heaven. When there's less of you, when there's less of your situation, when there's less, there's more room for God. When Gideon wanted to go into battle, Gideon didn't want to ever go into battle. When God called Gideon to go into battle, and God said, you need to get rid of a whole bunch of people, because if you go with the army you have right now, you're going to take the credit for your victory. So you need to strip it down. And so he says, tell everybody that's scared to go home. And it was like 2/3. It's a pretty lame army. If you're scared, go home. Whew. And then he says, and he works through a couple other ways and narrows it down to 300. 300 people. He started, I think, at 30,000. That doesn't matter. He got down to 300 people to go up against an army that was much, much larger than that. My point is, God stripped them down to virtually nothing, to very little, so that all they had to do was rely on God. They couldn't possibly take credit for it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is God's kingdom. Belongs to the poor in spirit. I'm yelling already. If you are without, there is room for more to be added in. There's room for more Jesus. Actually, God tends to work us to a place where we are poor in spirit because we need to be there before we can start. We try to get into ministry by ourselves. We try to do it on our own strength and our own skill, and it falls apart until we're left on our knees before God saying, I don't know what happened. He goes, I got you right where I want you now. Less of you. Blessed are those who mourn the loss of something dear, whether it's a person or a thing. You mourn, you can mourn over a lot of things. Can I tell you, in the church, we need to stop being so judgmental about the people that are mourning the loss of a job. That's a real loss. Mourning the loss of a pet. No, it's not the same as a person, but that's a real loss. You need to let people have their grief moments. But blessed are those who mourn, because there's no comfort if you're not mourning. Doesn't mean anything if you're having a good day and I say it's going to be okay. I know it is. It's already okay. But you go to somebody that's mourning, you say those words and you'll probably get yelled at. It's going to be okay. Because there's room for comfort. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. So what does God need to have you mourn over? So the Spirit of God can come in.
Oh God, we want revival. Get ready to mourn. What about mourning your sin? What about mourning your spiritual condition? What about when you discovered that you were poor in spirit, it caused you to mourn? Oh God, I lack. I'm so sorry. Blessed are the meek. Those who are without pride. The meek. They choose to take a lower position. They choose to bow. They choose to humble themselves. The meek. Maybe life puts them there. Circumstance puts them there. They lose everything. They have nothing. They're meek. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. They'll inherit the earth. The thing is, you can't get to a place of meekness if your desire is to inherit the earth. You can't. Yeah, I want the earth. I'm going to be meek. Good luck. You're going to have to be poor in spirit first and then mourn before you can be meek. Blessed are the meek. We need to understand. And part of what Jesus is saying here in all of these things is these are not your common conceptions. You'd think that, well, you're blessed if I can see that you're blessed. And he's like, actually, maybe not. You might be blessed if we can't see it. You willingly choose not to flaunt your success or blessing. That is to be meek. You decide to just accept where God has put you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this right here is the transition. I love this. It's good. I guess I probably should enjoy it since I have to do it, speak it to you. This is the shift between you being mournful for your sin, between you recognizing your condition, and you moving into a kingdom of God mentality. This is the shift here because you get to a place where I have nothing. I'm meek. I lack it all. I'm okay with that. I want more of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I want to be filled with your spirit. Then what are you ready to be emptied of? I want to be filled with your spirit. Then what has to be poured out of you first? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You're shifting. And now the next three things are even them, point number two then, who is blessed, even them who have. Even them who are without was the first point. And the second one is even them who have. Well, what do they have? They have mercy. Blessed are the merciful. In order to receive the mercy of God, you must first understand that you need it. You can't show mercy unless you understand mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You don't show mercy to an unmerciful person. That's a human understanding. God already did show mercy. God's already done it. It's done. He already did show you mercy. He already did withhold from you the curse that your sin required. Because of mercy, because his son. He already did that. You don't understand mercy until you understand that you need it. It's so easy to sit in a church and think that you've finally figured it out. It's so easy to, I've been going to church my whole life. I have. But for the first 5 years, I didn't care. Maybe longer. It was at 5 years old that I'm like, okay, I'm going to say the prayer that we've been saying in Sunday school forever, but I'm going to mean it this time. That's a sermon by itself. And so my salvation story, I always think it's lame because I went to church every week since I was born. And then I got saved and I continued to go to church every week until now. It's not an exciting story. My salvation story was gradual and slow. There'd be many points throughout my life where God would show me just how wretched I am. And it was often in areas of pride, because I was the preacher's kid, and I knew it all, and you couldn't teach me nothing, because I was there from the beginning of my life. You couldn't teach it to me, because if I didn't listen in church, it didn't matter. I'd have to listen to it at home, so I was going to get it one way or another. God had to send me to Bible school, not so I could learn how to read the scriptures and understand them, although that was part of it. God had to send me to Bible school to break me of who I am and show me that I don't know anything and that I'm completely useless unless the Spirit of God moves through me. It took going to school to realize that. When you go to Bible college, the first thing they do is give you a Bible entrance exam. They want you to understand how little you know about the Word of God. And granted, I had higher scores than anybody else, but I was sure I could pass that. I got 32%. 32. It didn't matter that my score was higher than that of my friends. That didn't matter to me. I was so humiliated because I was sure I knew. We won't talk about what I had when I left. It was higher, but it wasn't good. Blessed are the merciful. When you've received God's mercy, you will show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Our privilege of seeing God and working with Him starts in the heart. Is there any children left in the room? Is there any child that's brave enough to come forward? Would it help if I stepped down here? I am still tall. Would it help if I sat down? I'm not going to. I'm just kidding. It's okay. If you can see a child in your vicinity, I want you to look at them. Blessed are the pure. Yeah, everyone's like, all the kids are like, I should have just gone forward. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus says, unless you become like one of these, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What? Why is kids' ministry so amazing? Because kids actually get it. They don't sit there and go, you said it wrong. That's not what my Bible says. What translation are you reading? You're not wearing a tie. You're not on the, yeah, or a suit. You're not on the stage. You wander to, anyway. The pure in heart. Look at a kid. Do you know what it really means to be pure in heart? I love this about children. There's no prejudice.
Uh-oh.
There's no prejudice in a kid's heart. Now, it's sad how young that's getting to be there. There's a trend happening in our society that scares me. But for now, it is still true that there are children. The younger they are, the purer their heart is. Oh, man. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They'll see God. I want to see God. You got to get rid of whatever it is in your heart that you've decided is God. Oh, we have prejudice about him. What if you just let God be God? What if your prayer was, I want to know you, and that's what you meant? Not I want to know you as, and then you put a requirement on how you want. I want to know you. I dare you to ask God to show himself to you and leave it at that. I mean, don't leave the room, because that's not how prayer works. I want you to show me who you are. See you next week. No, I want you to let God reveal himself. When your heart is unhindered by prejudice and by the things you've decided are going to be true, whether or not you have any basis for it, you've just decided. That's when you get to see God. Oh, the pure in heart. Kids are so forgiving. They are. My mom taught me that early on in ministry. Because in kids' ministry, sometimes you got to raise your voice a little. Kids ain't listening. And sometimes, just sit down. And they do. And they don't leave kids' ministry going, I'm never going back. They yelled at me. Half the kids forget, like, the moment after. The other half forget by the time they leave. They go back to their parents, and how was it? It was awesome. Just love it. Forgiveness. You learn to not forgive. Kids have a natural ability just to, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to hold on to this. Why? What's the point? Changes nothing. Pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, welcoming everyone into the family of God. No conflict, no competition. There's no need to compare. Peacemakers, you and I are part of the family of God. And anybody else that we ever encounter either is already a part of the family of God or needs to be invited to become a part of the family of God. That's the only two groups there are. Either they are already a part of the family or they need to be invited in to become a part of the family. There's nobody else. Not as far as you're concerned. The rest of that is up to God. I don't think God wants to save you. I don't think you know God. Even them who have, not just those who are without, even them who have mercy, who have peace, who have purity in their heart, even them, they're blessed too. But then the last one, even them who are persecuted. To be persecuted for the gospel is the highest honor. Because it means that you have been counted as worthy as Jesus. Maybe another way to look at it is this. How dare we ever think that being part of the family of God, as in to be sons and daughters of God like Jesus was, would somehow exempt us from the same thing Jesus did. I'm not even talking about the cross, because it's the cross that lets us have access to the Father. The cross gets us in. It's the cross that, I'm not even talking about that. Jesus was persecuted long before the cross. And why? Because he'd say crazy things like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. You're crazy. He'd continue and go on. He'd say, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. I say, don't even hate. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, don't even lust. He would say crazy things. Raise the bar. Take the standard higher. He'd say, you pray so you can be heard. I say, pray just to God.
If you're persecuted, and I'm going to get to this in a second, so don't get ahead of me here. But if you're persecuted, you're at the highest honor. I get it. I know that where we live right here in Terrace, there's not a lot of persecution. In fact, dare I say, there isn't any. Not real persecution. But it doesn't mean that people aren't saying things about you, doing things behind your back. There's a kind of opposition that is going to come because you love Jesus. I don't know where the idea was. It's amazing. Anybody that is a part of the family of God knows it's amazing to be part of the family of God. But I don't know where the idea ever came in that this somehow changes your circumstance and ends your situation. I know too many people who get saved in their addictions. They no longer have that problem, but the heart of what caused the addiction remains. Because they thought that since the substance was gone, that it was over. There's some counselors in the room that know that's not true. You got to get to the bottom of the issue.
That's another sermon. Could probably preach a whole series out of this. Speaking of series, I love your core values. I've taken a picture of them because they may end up becoming messages over the next while. Because the first time I read that board, I started getting scriptures. Oh, there's a sermon. Anyway, so just a little freebie for you. It might. You never know. Unless I never get asked to speak again. I won't take it personally.
When you reach this state, when you've put on his righteousness so well that they only see him and begin to attack you, that's why people don't like you. Because you look like Jesus. And the sin in them hates what you look like. Not them, but the sin in them. That's why in Ephesians, Paul says, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This isn't a battle between you and that person. This is a battle between your spirit, which is tied to Jesus, and their spirit, which is not. That's what the battle is. It's coming out of their mouth, and it's coming out of your life, but it is not you and them. That's why Jesus says, when they come against you, what's your reaction? Pray for them. When they come against you, pray for them. Pray God's blessing on them. What's your reaction supposed to be when it gets difficult? Prayer. Not prayer that God would smite them. You don't get to pray that. Jonah tried it. It didn't work. Read the last chapter of Jonah. We like this fun part of the story where he got out of the whale and he went and he preached to the people. After he preached to the people, he went up on the mountainside, sat there and looked at the city and said, okay, God, do it now. Kill him now. And God's grace in that moment was like, you're so silly. When you get to this place where you're persecuted, you've reached the highest honor. But I want you to hear me. This is what's really interesting. When you reach this stage, you are ready to start again at the beginning. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Did you know that they have the same ending? Blessed are they that are persecuted, for they for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I cannot believe how many times I read the scripture and see God moving in a seasonal cycle. Kind of like he created our planet to do. Kind of like the creator of heaven had a plan in it all. I laugh because it's so obvious and we skip it every day. I don't like the winter. I don't like the snow. Everything has to rest, including nature. So God covers it in a blanket and lets it sleep for a few months. I don't want to shovel the blanket. Then go to bed yourself. You circle back around to the beginning. Because let's be real, when people come at you, when the enemy's attacking you, when he's using people to do that, when he's using your family to do that, let's be real, that's where it comes from some of the time, actually a lot of the time, our own family. We're just going to be real this morning because we're in church. We should be real. And when all that's coming at you, it's going to wear at you. It's going to knock you down. It will do that. It will have that effect because we're people. Let's not pretend we're not people. It's going to knock you down to a place where you might be called poor in spirit. And you're still blessed. And you become poor in spirit. And you come to the Father and you say, I'm poor in spirit. And he begins to speak in your life. And he starts to shed the light on some new sins that have showed up. Do you know that anybody that's been a believer for a long time knows this now? But you don't just like get saved and stay that way. You're going to get to a place of maturity where you realize that you have even more sin than you thought you had, and you're going to repent of it again, and you're going to come into a new relationship again. I'm not saying you get saved more than once. I'm saying that this cycle, this journey is one where you're going to realize you got a problem, and you're going to say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. That prayer is going to sound a whole lot like the one that you prayed when you first got saved. You know what, God, I'm sorry. And I want to live for you. We have to realign ourselves continually. So maybe you come back to that, I'm poor in spirit. And then you mourn your sin, and you mourn your condition, and you mourn the loss of that relationship that you once had and loved. And then God says you're going to be comforted because you're blessed for your mourning, and now you're meek. You're in a position where you're okay to be where you are, and you recognize that God loves you, and then you're going to start hungering for more of him, and you realize the cycle has started again. And then you're going to discover mercy because he's going to show you mercy again. That's what makes God's mercy so amazing. And that's what leads you to be merciful, is he'll offer it to you again. I don't deserve mercy, but you get it again. I don't deserve your grace, but it's coming again. To make this more practical, even them, I want to draw your attention to some of the needs of this church. Even them. Are you aware of the next generation ministries that go on in this congregation? Do you know that Freedom Youth Ministries, Pastor Lowell, when he was here, I started going to youth group in the seventh grade underneath his ministry. He would lead me through different concepts of leadership. He would lead me along my own journey. Do you know that Pastor Lowell's vision for Freedom Youth Ministries was that name was the umbrella under which all next generation ministries of this church fell? That was his intention. So Flip Switch and Kids Express, they all fall under Freedom Youth Ministries. That was his intention. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what was. Freedom. I could preach a message about it, but I shouldn't because I'm done. She said, don't look at the, both said, don't look at the clock, but don't tell me that. Just take the clock down. I wear one. Freedom. Everybody needs more of Jesus, even them. Everybody needs to be blessed, even them. The reason that we're getting practical with this is because
Well, in two parts. I help out on Wednesday nights, and I'm getting tired. And that was a joke. And the other side of that is, this is an important thing about the church. Connection is good. Your next generation is more important. That was bold. I'm a guest. Now I'm a guest. A moment ago, I wasn't a guest. Now I'm getting scared, so I'm a guest. Flip Switch runs on Tuesdays. It's supposed to run on Tuesdays. It does still. Grades 5 to 7. What time? 6:30 to, is it behind me? To 8. It's also in front of me. Thanks, guys. You guys are like, are you that blind? 6:30 to 8. I was trying to get Pastor Rachel involved in this moment. 6:30 to 8. Freedom Youth Ministries runs on Wednesday nights, 7 to 9 for grades 8. That one's got to be updated. Grades 8 to 12. Kids Express, currently ages 3 to 7. I asked Pastor Rachel this stuff this morning. I'm not that smart, just so you know, because I wanted to make this apply to your context. I just said, so what are you doing for Next Generation Ministries right now? She says, Kids Express, ages 3 to 7. She goes, ideally. I said, yeah, tell me what that is. She goes, ideally, ages 3 to 5 and 6 to 10. Then she goes, the dream. I said, oh, come on now. It would be ages 3 to 5 and 6 to 8 and 9 to 11. The reason I'm pointing this out, first of all, you got a pastor that's dreaming for this church and wanting to see the ministries progress and move forward. Noteworthy. Second of all, the reason it isn't there is because there's a lack of assistance. Because there's a lack of help. I'm not here to guilt you into anything. I'm not here to say that. I'm here to point a direction. I'm here to remind you that right here in your church, on a weekly basis, there's an opportunity for even them to know the love of Jesus. Nobody is exempt from that. When we were at district conference, I don't remember how many years ago now, and they had their kids program at district conference for all, where we all pastors go to get blessed, because it's a drain to do this. And in the kids ministry, they were comparing the Holy Spirit to superheroes and how he kind of gives you a superpower. Let the children be the children, I guess. There's some questionable theology. I'm just kidding. The Spirit of God fell. And our kids were speaking in tongues and were prophesying over our denomination, over our whole district. The kids. And they had to come into the service and interrupt the service. And my dad, you know my dad, he speaks here. You know how he is. He got all irritated. He goes, this shouldn't have been a surprise to us. The Spirit of God is moving on the kids. Well, duh. But now you got to understand, my dad got saved at 4 years old and was speaking in tongues on the same day that he was saved. So for him, he's like, well, of course. Let the kids be the kids. And their whole point was that it's the same God that a child can understand. It doesn't need degrees of school. I wonder why I still pay student loans on something that wasn't that crucial. Because kids get it. Why don't you ask the kids? Why don't you read the notes they put when they do the little note sheets that they get on that family Sunday? Why don't you read those? I do. I think it's amazing what the kid is getting out of service. Of all ages. More than you do most of the time. All you get out of service is he's not wearing a tie and he talks too long and he walks around too much. Pastor Rachel, you need to print out those sheets for everybody. What were those keywords that you heard? Draw a picture. A ministry that you used to do here, Spark Kids, Mondays after school, grades 1 to 4. This isn't happening right now. a ministry that you used to do, Sunday school. It isn't happening now. I'm not here to bring any kind of condemnation. But if something's pulling at your heart and you want to get mad at me for it, I think God is saying something to you. You need to recognize the value. There is nobody that is not worthy to be blessed by the God who would give his only son so that you could even be here at all. And I told Pastor Rachel I was going to give a plug for volunteering in Next Gen, so I better do that well. You need to figure out within yourself how you will serve in the church. Boy, I'm going to preach and run, I think, today. It might be chaste. How you will serve. You, and I'm scared to say this, but I found it to be true. You don't even have to like people to be used in the kingdom of God. In fact, you might be better useful because God can work through you more. You know the kind of help we need for kids' ministries? It's not just teachers, but that's obviously a part of it. We need somebody that can talk to the kids and engage with them and cause them to learn. We need that. It's important. Pastor Rachel's pretty good at that. Pretty good. What she's better at, I mean this, is coordinating the ministry events themselves, making them happen, getting people involved. She's better at that. She knows that. I'm not, like, insulting her. She's good at planning things and making it happen. She's good at picking themes and running the event through the night. We don't need those kinds of help only. That's part of it. We need people. We were noticing on Wednesday night, we do a lot of church-wide games now because we've got so many of them. And they got a lot of energy. And to try and bottle that energy into a room just gets hot and smelly. So we move them around the whole building so the whole building gets hot and smelly. And I'm kidding. There's more ventilation everywhere else, apparently. Just open the window. And we do that, but the kind of help that would be useful on any of these kinds of nights is somebody that can just stand by a door and make sure that nobody goes through it. It's pretty simple. You essentially would be a door where there is no door. Wow. To the glory of God. You don't understand how simple the help is. You don't even have to talk to the kids. Just be there. No. You shall not pass. Because, shoot, we've already got plenty of leaders on Wednesday night in particular who love the kids, and we're going to run around with them and engage with them and have a good time with the kids. We don't need you to do that. You're off the hook. We just need somebody that can, you know, watch the space and help us out that way. We were just talking about how it would be really nice if we had somebody who could literally stand there and make sure kids are registered, and if they're not, run out to the car with a clipboard to the parent and be like, can you fill this out now? I know it seems simple, and actually that's my point. Kids Express, all these other ministries, it's simple. Oh, but I might miss out on service. No, you won't. There's no greater joy in the world than actually being a blessing to somebody. No more consumerism. No more sitting there and, God, feed me. God, feed me. He's like, you're fat. Get out there and do something. Do something. Who's blessed? Even them. Even them. The only people who don't need to be involved in ministry, and this is true, first of all, those that aren't really part of the family. Because we want you to be a part of the family first. And it's not like you're not going to talk to my kids. No, it's priority, okay? We really want you to understand what's going on. And then secondly, if you just became a part of the family, you're off the hook for a little while. Get your feet wet. You can get fed for a little while. It's okay. I went to school for 4 years. Got nice and fat. In more ways than one. It's okay. But find a way to get involved. Uh-oh. It's 12 o'clock. Everyone, regardless of age or social status or any distinguishing element, is permitted to know Jesus. Everyone. Who gets to know the goodness of God? Even them. Who is blessed? Even them.